Welcome. Cypress Records podcasts related to topical subjects with an objective of assisting and informing our listeners with insights on these subjects. Today we're going to talk about a new DoD initiative called the Regional Sustainment Framework. Participating in today's podcast are two individuals whom I believe will give our listeners great insights into this new initiative. I have two friends joining me today, and I'd like to welcome and introduce first Secretary Chris Lohman. Secretary Lohman is the U.S. Department of Defense Assistant Secretary of Defense for Sustainment. Not only is Secretary Lohman the architect of the Regional Sustainment Framework, but he's a seasoned and experienced logistician and sustainment expert. Secretary Lohman has worked in and led various logistics organizations at the service, department, and international levels. In his capacity as the ASD for Sustainment, he provides executive leadership to the Defense Logistics Agency and other organizations. Thank you for joining today in this subject, Secretary Lohman. I'd also like to welcome and introduce Major General Chris Noberg. He is the defense attaché for the Polish Embassy here in Washington, D.C. General Noberg is a seasoned sapper combat engineer and has served with coalition forces in Iraq and Afghanistan. General Noberg and I have something in common also. He proudly wears a U.S. military award, and I proudly wear a Polish award. I asked General Noberg to participate in this podcast today because I'm sure he'll give our audience a great perspective on the potential impacts that an initiative like the Regional Sustainment Framework will have on his country's ability to support NATO partners in a time of war. General Noberg, thank you for joining us today. So this new initiative by OSD, the Regional Sustainment Framework, in my humble opinion, I believe it's an initiative that is tied to the challenges associated with contested logistics and the realization that the world is a more dangerous place and preparedness is a key element of deterrence. I also believe it's a precursor to the initiative is something that we did in the Stryker program a while ago, and I'd just like to share that story quickly. As many of you know, our Stryker vehicle had 10 variants. We produced the various variants as fast as possible so we could rapidly field the Stryker brigades back in the 2003 to 2009 time period. In 2005, we were simultaneously fielding three Stryker brigades while supporting the deployment of two brigades in Iraq. Whenever we had a battle loss of a vehicle in Iraq, we had to make a decision. Do we impact the fielding of a BCT that was in the queue to deploy to Iraq, or depending on which variant had been lost, provide the BCT with an in lieu of vehicle? Working with our government and industry partners, we set up a repair facility in the Middle East where we rapidly were able to repair the vehicle and get it back into the inventory. Actually, getting the vehicle back into the inventory was the hardest thing we had to do because the serial number had been washed out since it had been destroyed, and it was a hard time getting it back in, but we accomplished that. Our challenge was time. If we tried by sending the vehicle back to the United States for repair, time would not be on our side. So with that, I'd like to turn to Secretary Lohman for any opening comments, sir.
Peter, one, thanks for the invitation and the time Cypress puts into putting these podcasts together. I find them very useful for our ability to get our message out and further inform the sustainment enterprise, both here in the U.S. Joint Force, in the U.S. defense industrial base industries, but also throughout our allies and partners globally. And so this is very helpful. We're at a period of time where the national security environment has evolved from where it's been in the past. And so Regional Sustainment Framework is one of the mechanisms that the U.S. Department of Defense is employing to enhance our ability to not only sustain U.S. joint forces in a contested theater of operations, but also enhance support for our regional allies and partners and their respective armed forces. So before I get into the Regional Sustainment Framework specifics, I want to just say thank you very much to General Noberg from Poland. A lot of this discussion in RSF and a lot of the thought that went into the Regional Sustainment Framework was really born from our partnership with Poland in support of Ukraine and other NATO allies within Europe. And so thank you from me for your national support for our efforts supporting Ukraine against the invasion from Russia. And I'll pass it over to you for any opening remarks.
First of all, I'd like to thank you, Secretary Lohman, for the time you took from your calendar to meet with us today. Your personal contribution to improving military logistics, both for U.S. and NATO troops in Europe, can't be overstated. The Regional Sustainment Framework is a very positive initiative, which is to optimize regional MRO, which is maintenance, repair, and overhaul. And if successful, I believe it will be a force multiplier. At this point, I would also like to thank you, Peter, for inviting me to participate in this podcast. There is no doubt that the topic we'll be discussing today is timely and is also particularly relevant to Poland. As you know, we are going through a hectic period now in Poland. The war in Ukraine has caused upheavals in Europe and across the whole security systems. We, as a border state, had to quickly adapt to the new realities, and we did. My compatriots have shown great empathy, accepting Ukrainian women and children in their households. To me, it was inspirational to see the positive attitude and contagious empathy of the Polish people. Then we quickly became a leader in military aid, donated, among other things, a large number of tanks, infantry vehicles, artillery systems, jets, and helicopters. In my personal opinion, at the very outset of the war, when actually nobody knew what the Russian reaction would be, Poland delivered bold results that no other country except of the US could even come close to. It is also worth to noting, I think, the fundamental importance of the Rzeszów Airport. The majority of logistics supplies have been shipped to Ukraine through Rzeszów. If the decision to get Rzeszów Airport available for the military cargo shipments hadn't been done, and done quickly, Ukraine's brave resistance would have been in jeopardy. Today, after 2 years of war, the situation, unfortunately, is still far undetermined. It is hard to believe, but despite unbelievable losses, Russians show no eagerness to cease hostilities. Thus, we have no other choice but to stay committed and unified in our efforts to support Ukraine. Interestingly, and I think you heard about that, Poland experienced Russia's hybrid war now on our eastern border. With the support of Russia, Belarus purposely and brazenly pushes thousands of immigrants to our frontiers for the purpose of creating instability throughout the region. So we have serious problems at our eastern border, committing large number of troops to help our border guards and police and so on and so forth. At the same time, number one, we training Ukrainians, and number two, rapidly implementing large number of new sophisticated weapon systems, primarily provided by US. And these new and sophisticated weapon system require far-reaching transformational changes to Poland armed forces. So we are doing multiple adaptations. We change our doctrine, organization, training, material, education, and so on and so forth in order to get our armed forces to the next level of excellence. On the other hand, we realize that the purchase of high-tech weapon systems does not translate automatically to increased lethality and sustainment of our armed forces. We see what's happening across our border, so we want our armed forces to be geared up for high-intensity conflict. We are learning from Ukraine that our troops need to prevail in contested logistic environment, and this is a real challenge. Thus, regional sustainment framework is so important for Poland, and I'm happy to elaborate more on this particular topic today.
Thanks, General Norbert. And as we discussed before we started, I'm happy to be on a first name basis, and so I'll just refer to you as Chris from here on out, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
You know, I talked a little bit in my opening remarks about the evolving national security strategy, and I think before we get into RSF, it's important for the audience to understand how we're viewing the national security environment globally, how we're viewing the role of allies and partners globally, and how we're accommodating the rapid modernization efforts that is occurring in many of our allied and partner nations. The first thing I'd like to touch on is within the U.S.'s national defense strategy, which is about 2 years old now. It's a very good document. It's very clear. It's very closely aligned, as you can imagine, with the national security strategy. And it introduces a couple of concepts, and it also prioritizes logistics for really the first time in order in the top four priorities. And so the first concept I want to talk about is integrated deterrence. And so integrated deterrence is really a recognition that we'll need all elements of national power here in the U.S., and also we'll need full participation, cooperation, and interoperability with our partners and allies in the theaters of operation. And really, that demonstration of interoperability and the demonstration of not only our ability to operate together for effect, but also to sustain combat capability in a coalition format and regenerate readiness within the theater of operations really offers, in my opinion, a deterrent value to our adversaries. It offers our commanders, whether they're U.S. commanders or allied and partner commanders, options to regenerate readiness closer to the point of need. And so it's important kind of to view RSF within that context. And then the second thing that the National Defense Strategy requires us to do is to build a resilient joint force and defense ecosystem, defense industrial base ecosystem. And so what that means is not just the defense industrial base within the United States, but also the defense industrial base within our allied and partner theaters of operation, and the overarching operational and tactical sustainment capabilities to regenerate readiness. And so, you know, it's interesting over the last 2 years, 2.5 years now of Russia's illegal invasion of Ukraine, the context and discussions that I have at my level within NATO, with NATO partners, has really evolved to a great degree. Historically, what I found is sustainment really is viewed as a national responsibility, right? Each nation would sustain themselves. They would use their defense industrial base to do so. And it was somewhat protected from encroachment from neighboring nations or international partners. Today, when I'm in a discussion regarding sustaining Ukraine and regarding the sustainment framework within NATO, more and more I get into a discussion about coalition, opportunities where we can partner with other nations to develop sustainment capability in Europe or in the Indo-Pacific AOR. And so that's really, to me, a fundamental shift in understanding that while there's always been an appetite for co-production opportunities or co-development opportunities, what's emerged here in the last year or two is opportunities where we can execute co-sustainment operations. And that is through regional maintenance, repair, or overhaul hubs, either in any of our theaters of operation. We are currently focused in RSF in the Indo-Pacific, but also beginning to develop opportunities in Europe with our NATO partners. And so this is really where RSF comes in, Regional Sustainment Framework. And at its essence, RSF is a global network of maintenance, repair, and overhaul capabilities and capacities that is regionally aligned. It's regionally aligned within the U.S. theaters of operations under our combatant commander framework. And it is aligned specifically, prioritized by our combatant commanders, both at the nation level and at the system level, to ensure that we're addressing, one, we're interacting with priority partners within the theaters, and two, we are addressing the geographic dispersion requirements that are inherent in modern conflict with a peer competitor. And then finally, that we're prioritizing the warfighting systems in a couple of different ways. One, the priority warfighting capabilities within the U.S. Joint Force and what we need to regenerate within the theater, but also with a view towards interoperability, where there are commonly equipped forces in the theater of operations. We want to focus on those systems that all of the partners within the nations will benefit from. Conceptually, RSF depends on national industrial base capability, wherever that capability resides, in partnership with a U.S. industry partner through a joint venture arrangement. Within the theater of operations in the interwar years, all of unserviceable type workload generated in the theater in competition, so normal training op tempo, those failures would be addressed within the theater at the RSF facilities. And then that then ensures their availability as we, or if we have to scale from competition into crisis, then conflict. So the intent here is to regenerate readiness closer to the point of need through the repair of end item capabilities, whether that's a TAC air asset, F-35, F-15, F-16, a surface fleet, non-nuclear ship, or ground combat equipment, whether that's heavy ground combat equipment or light. Pete, you brought up Stryker, very good example of a system that's performing incredibly well in Europe, or tactical wood vehicles, and then on into radars or communication navigation equipment. And so I'll pause there, Chris, and pass it over to you if you have any comments relative to that.
Poland understands the essence of integrated deterrence that is being emphasized in the latest U.S. national defense strategy. We also clearly see America's massive and growing challenges in the Indo-PACOM. So we understand the nature of threats described in the U.S. national security strategy. And I have read both of these documents from cover to cover a few times. And I'm going to tell you that Poland has made, and it's still making, major contributions to the implementation of these two strategies. We are gearing up for high-intensity conflict, doubling of our armed forces with 4.15% of GDP now, which is earmarked for defense and contributing financially to logistic services for American troops in Poland. So we completely understand that the purchases we have made here in America require a durable approach to logistics. Today, successful deterrence is not only a matter of stationing forces on our front line, and we know that. Today, I think more than any time before, we need a global defense industrial ecosystem that enable us to share resources, services, and strategies. For us, this is an absolute imperative, and there is no way around it. And this is, from the practical standpoint, this is the reason why my leadership back in Poland is so determined to be part of regional sustainment framework. We, as a major FMS recipient, must collaborate not only with U.S. military, but also with other end users of American-made weaponry. And this is fundamental. This is fundamental to optimizing cost while maintaining appropriate readiness. The security of Polish citizens and inviolability of our national borders is a constitutional obligation. And there is absolutely no division or difference of opinion on these issues. The efficiency of the armed forces has always remained a matter of particular concern for any Polish government. From the personal note, I can tell that if anyone knows at least a little about the history of my country, they know that Poland has always struggled with two basic strategic dilemmas, or challenges, if you will. The first one is geography, and what I mean by that is our country's geographical location. As you know, we sit in the middle of the Central European Plain, which provides limited protection and has been a natural line of attack of great powers. The Russian Empire, Nazi Germany Empire, French Napoleon and Soviet Russia, they rolled back and forward through the territory of Poland. And the second strategic challenge is our geopolitical background, in which Poland has acted as a bulwark of Western civilization. We are just on the front edge of the West, and this makes us vulnerable. US historian and scientist Samuel Huntington wrote extensively about this situation. So these two overarching strategic dilemmas have always caused Poland anxiety when it comes to national security and makes our military instrument of power vital. It has always stayed in that way, and this imperative has survived unchanged until these days. So Poland doesn't need any extraordinary motivation to take responsibility for its security. And this is why we are so excited to be part of the Regional Sustainment Initiative. In fact, we see in this initiative a great commonality of interest.
General Norbert, thank you very much. Secretary Lohmann, I appreciate your insights on how this strategy is fitting together and especially how regional sustainment framework could deter future conflict. So can you just help us understand how the objectives that you and the department have set, or what objectives you need to achieve this new initiative?
So, you know, we talked a little bit about why the regional sustainment framework, and we haven't really talked about is the work that our community, both operational community and sustainment community, has done in the U.S. Department of Defense, examining the challenges of sustaining a force in a theater of operations, in a contested theater, right? So under contested logistics conditions, what do we need to change in our concept of operations to sustain forces? And when you look at contested logistics and what has emerged, when the theater itself is contested, we're relying on, to a large degree, long over ocean lines of communications to, one, move, project equipment into a theater of operation and the subsequent sustainment, follow-on support that's required. But it also depends on, to a large degree, those same over-ocean lines of communication to retrograde unserviceable equipment back to the continental United States for repair. And so this really, really, one of our primary objectives for the regional sustainment framework is, one, increase the rate at which we can regenerate readiness. Given the speed of modern war, we find the requirement to retrograde key combat platforms back to the continental United States as really a degrader in operational capability. So repairing that capability and getting it back on the line in a rapid fashion through local repair is really one of the key objectives. The second objective is to reserve capacity, transportation capacity, on the locks, on the lines of communication, whether it's surface capacity or it's air cargo capacity, to reserve that capacity for the movement of critical warfighting material as opposed to unserviceable material that has to be repaired, right? So again, it's just a desire to create capability in the theater of operations to regenerate readiness closer to the point of need. And the last one is really to increase our interoperability with allied and partner nations, right? And increase that interaction so that we really arrive at not only an operational joint and international force capable of operating together, but we also begin to develop this global network of sustainment capability where information can flow to a greater degree with less restrictions. And as the European nations continue to modernize with either Western US equipment or other European equipment, it really lends itself well to plan for that co-sustainment to not only repair US Joint Force equipment in the theater, but also then begin to pull in this case, Polish Abrams, for example, co-located with US Abrams, both being repaired in a heavy combat equipment maintenance facility somewhere in Central Europe. And so that's really our key objectives when it comes to RSF.
You bring up a really good point that I'd like to bring up to General Novert. So this regional concept of we have M1s, the Polish government and army has M1s. How, Chris Novert, are you in your government working with your industry to ensure that you have the capacity to repair? Because it's, you know, the M1 is actually a complex system. You have the drivetrain, so you have a turbine engine involved in this. You have the all the black boxes that are inside. How are you working with your industry to build that capacity? So as Secretary Lohman talks about, we're not having to retrograde a black box or a platform all the way back to the United States, and we can have a joint venture between a U.S. company and a Polish company to provide that type of maintenance support.
Definitely, we don't intend to evacuate broken parts or subcomponents of weapon systems to the continental United States for repair or servicing. Given our geographical location and the number of weapon systems that we've purchased, any kind of overseas repairs and overhauls would be out of the questions. It would not only be cost ineffective, but would also be unacceptable from a national security standpoint. It is just too much risk in it. So Poland doesn't want to wait for problematic shipments with spare parts and ammunition across the Atlantic when the situation is hot and dynamic in Europe. For our own survival as a frontline nation, we simply cannot afford to outsource maintenance, repair, and overhaul services. The Polish Ministry of National Defense is well versed in the essence of regional sustainment framework. And in fact, as I said, we are very determined to be part of this initiative as we see a very strong commonality of interest here and a great opportunity for the Polish Armed Forces. Thus, my MOD works with the Polish Armament Group, so-called PGZ, which is a leader of the Polish defense industry. They supply our armed forces with defense articles. They also provide maintenance for our weapon systems. And this consortium has been identified as the key stakeholders responsible for establishing adequate repair facilities for the newly procured weapons. And my job, of course, is to inform both MOD and the Armament Group about opportunities related to US NDIS and obviously regional sustainment framework. Fortunately, both of these documents, I mean regional sustainment framework and NDIS, are unclassified. So it makes my coordination much smoother here. And I have no restrictions in scheduling meeting with Pentagon officials to discuss specific areas of our interest. It makes my life easier over here. And at this point, Chris, I would like to mention your recent visit to Poland, which turned out to be particularly helpful in understanding and messaging RSF concept across our defense establishment. What is also worth noting is the fact that our industry has been working with American arms supplier for years already. And one of the greatest examples of the existing successful RSF kind of initiative is the main F-16 repair facilities at the Aviation Depot number 2 in Bydgoszcz. They do major repairs for F-16s, including scheduled maintenance, overhauls, and they even do the engines replacement. So I presume the next one initiative will be expansion of the maintenance hub for the Abrams main battle tanks in Poznan.
So Secretary Lohman and General Norbert, really interesting. I think we're going to help people understand what is the concept, what are the objectives. I think they're going to be asking an important question. What are the next steps? So Secretary Lohman, can we start with you? What do you think are the next steps, or what next steps are you trying to accomplish? And then Chris will go to you to find out, from a Polish government perspective and industry perspective.
Peter, I appreciate the opportunity. So as some of you know, we published the Regional Sustainment Framework in May. So that was publicly released. It's available on the net. Our next step really includes, one, over the next 6 months, we will publish the RSF implementation plan. And so what this will document is the process that we'll use with the U.S. military services, with our Department of State and our Department of Commerce, along with our industry partners and our national government partners, with the industry, their own national industry or companies that they bring to the table. We are working this through a series of pathfinders. Our focus is Indo-PACOM. At the moment, we've identified five nations in the Indo-Pacific, five pathfinder capabilities. We're working with four of the services to pull those together. From my office, you can expect publication of the implementation plan, identification of those Indo-PACOM pathway projects, and then at the same time, we're beginning to work with the EUCOM J4 and the NATO sustainment community to begin to identify potential RSF pathways within Europe. We're particularly focused on capabilities that exist already to perform maintenance on either heavy combat equipment, on tactical wheeled vehicles, on rotary wing capabilities as our initial focus areas in Europe. And so we look forward to hearing from any of the defense industrial base partners, our national ally and MOD representatives, or anybody here in the U.S. From our defense industrial base community.
Chris, I'd like to just hear from your perspective, as you heard Secretary Lohman talk about the next steps. How do you translate those into actions inside the Polish government and your industry?
Well, sensing the needs of military and speaking about the Polish army and on behalf of the Polish army, I think that we ought to keep up with momentum and focus holistically on transformation. We need to adopt along the lines of the US approach to life cycle logistics, I mean DOT-MLPF, which is Doctrine, Organization, Training, Material, Leadership, Education, Personnel, and then the last one is Facility and Policy. So each single piece of equipment must be integrated into the Polish Armed Forces with this approach. This maximizes our lethality and readiness. It also ensures everything is ready for long-term sustainment. I think the more Poland's logistics are integrated with the US and NATO, the more ready we'll be to do, as American Army units say, fight tonight. We also need to synchronize our logistics sustainment concept with European command. That's supposed to ensure cohesion and collaboration, I think. As for Polish defense industry, I do believe that they have to intensify talks with US weapons suppliers and lay out their plans to ensure solid MRO capabilities. And they have to do that before the majority of the weapon systems are delivered to Poland. And we'll see how it unfolds.
Well, gentlemen, I think that we've given some great insights to our audience. And I would like to just close with closing remarks from First Secretary Lohman, if you have any.
One, I just want to say thank you again for the time and the opportunity to talk about this particular initiative. I want to thank General Norbert again for his time and his insights, and certainly for the cooperation that we enjoy every day from the nation of Poland. in our operations in Europe. It's greatly appreciated. The national security environment is different today than it was even 5 or 6 years ago. And it is an imperative that we evolve our sustainment frameworks and structures globally to be able to support U.S. joint forces, allied forces, and partner forces in this new national security environment. We believe that regional sustainment framework plays a role in enhancing that sustainment capability, and frankly, the time to implement it is now. And this is not something we can take decades to evolve. And so I look forward to communicating with those interested in the regional sustainment framework, communicating with individuals, companies, or nations that are interested in participating.
First thing, I would say that regional sustainment framework is timely. Russia's brutal war on Ukraine exposes many gaps in allied logistics. And it is fantastic that your team, Chris, have come up with this sustainment framework and you are trying to implement it now. I believe it will spur rapid change across different theaters. Poland is on the front line, and we cannot be slowed down with wartime operations awaiting spare parts and ammunition coming across the Atlantic. So we must be able to have a regional approach with regional support hubs, preposition stocks, fuel supplies, and networks ready to go. It is the time to change from the just-in-time logistics model to being ready for multiple conflict scenarios. Good military commanders plan to fight close, deep, and rear area battles. And metaphorically, our defense industrial base and logistics is currently only geared up for the close fight. That must change. Industry and logistics must do more than fight close. They must prepare to fight deep, including redundancies. And I'll tell you more. They have to be ready to defend against increasing industrial exploitation and sabotage by our adversaries. The transformation of our armed forces, this is the whole nation effort, financial and societal, and it's being carried out with the consideration of the United States' needs in Indo-Pacon. And we realize the processes of huge military transformation that Poland is undergoing now requires intense cooperation in the field of logistics. Thus, we seek to play an important role in helping America implement regional sustainment framework, as well as to increase defense industrial cooperation. You know, we have much latent defense industrial capabilities, but have struggled to catch up with our allies in some high-tech and complex weapon systems production. We have a highly educated workforce, low labor cost, and strong economy. Our youth are smart. We have many universities. The government created favorable conditions for foreign investments. And we do believe we are perfectly positioned for expanded defense industrial cooperation. Our doors are open. We hope U.S. government recognizes the potential and helps to foster strong ties among our defense industries.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you both for joining me today in what I am sure our listeners will find to be a very informative and insightful podcast. And it's concerning the Regional Sustainment Framework Initiative and, more importantly, its implementation. So, Secretary Lohman, I appreciate you taking the time today to explain and assist us in understanding, you know, how this critical element of deterrence is going to be implemented as rapidly as possible. And Colonel Nobert, for you to explain what's going on from the Polish perspective, because, like you said, you have a border on a hostile neighbor, and you have to be thinking about this, especially as you get new high-tech equipment such as the M1s, the Patriots, and other systems that will require a forward repair capability instead of sending it all the way back to the United States. As Secretary Lohman said, the lines of communication are just too extensive and can be interdicted. So how do you repair forward?